G'day friends, I'm Anissa Hill and welcome to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. Here we tell the stories of people who have done just that, moved to Costa Rica. This week in episode 20, we sit down with 39-year-old Madeline Carlson. Hailing from Sweden, Madeline talks about the transition from materialistic Monaco to chill Costa Rica, the benefits of living in a small and connected community, and why Nicoya Peninsula is one of the world's five blue zones. If you'd like to watch the video of this episode, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. Before we dive in, remember new episodes are released every Thursday. Head to www.movetocostaricapodcast.com. Without any further delay, here is your host, Malcolm Hill.
G'day friends and welcome to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. My name is Malcolm and today we have with us Madeline Carlson from Sweden. Now, Maddie, if you want to say hi and I'll give you a little intro.
Hi everyone. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me to be part of this. So excited.
Oh, it's awesome. As I was saying to you just before we started recording, this is the first chat I've had with someone in about 3 or 4 weeks because of the newborn we've got at home, which is exciting. But for those listening, Maddie is a holistic health and nutrition coach. She is an advanced Pilates trainer and she has done over 200 hours of Ashtanga Vinyasa yoga. And she also has a TED talk, which you can find on YouTube, all about health and all about what she does, which is epic. And I had a little listen to that earlier. So today I'm really excited because we're going to talk about a lot of those things and a lot of kind of the health related things that Costa Rica is really famous for. Before we do, to give some context, I wanted to just mention the weather event or that weather events that we've had in the last week. Now, to give the listeners some context, whereabouts in Costa Rica are you based, Madeline?
So I'm in Nassara, which I believe was one of the hardest hit areas because we have a river mouth here and the river came out of its bed and took a lot of homes with it. So it's been an eventful week, especially for the people who live close to the river mouth, obviously, yeah.
So for those listening, Nassara is in the northern part of Costa Rica on the Nicoya Peninsula. There was a big hurricane last week over on the Caribbean side of Costa Rica. But because this is a pretty small country on kind of the skinny bit of Central America, the hurricane on the other side of the country created crazy rainstorms over the Pacific side of the country where Nassara is. So the flooding has been like extreme. I mean, what happened to Nassara? I saw some videos and some photos and it looked pretty sad, pretty severe.
Yeah, I think it was one of the worst floods they've had in many, many years and not more. And a lot of people lost their homes and we got a lot of rain, but the main issue was as well that all the rain that came further inland ended up in the river and that's how the river ended up coming out of its bed. And that's why people ended up having their homes completely swept away, animals being, you know, caught in the river and so on. So it was really stressful, I think, for a lot of people. Thankfully, we have an amazing local community. And immediately there was a relief effort put in place by the Bomberos of Nassara, Nassara Animal Care, Amor Animals, Nassara, all these organizations work together to help people and animals. And so we have a rodeo here. So people got set up in the rodeo and the whole community. I mean, I love this community. Everyone came together and started like giving foods and blankets and towels and everything that anyone had just to help the people who had lost everything. And even now there's a cleanup effort that is being coordinated. People are going in to help those that have had, their homes completely under mud for the past week, you know? So it's horrible and sad, but I think the silver lining, if you can speak about a silver lining in this context, is that we have an amazing community and that people come together and help each other. And I think that's made me even happier to be in this place.
Absolutely. Yeah. As soon as the floods were happening, there was relief organizations and relief funds that were set up like the day of, or like the second, the day after. And I guess one of the benefits, if you can call it a benefit, but one of the benefits of having like a large foreign community in Nusara where this like natural disaster has occurred is you have people who can bring funds to the area and help those who genuinely need the help right now.
Yeah.
And there's other areas of Central America that got battered by the same storm. And many of them don't have any foreign communities with money there to be able to help them through this time.
Yeah. I mean, here the restaurants, everyone's doing some kind of fundraising effort. Like I have a friend who's a private chef. She's baking cookies. She's giving all the funds that she's getting from selling her cookies. She's giving it to one of the organizations and so on. So everyone is doing their bit to help, which I think is amazing. And also like even the population of Costa Rica, like the people here, they're problem solvers. They're like, we're gonna get this done. Like I lived in Europe for most of my life, and I'm not gonna name any for specific countries, but like it was like, no, can't do it, no, can't do it, no, can't do it. And I'm like, wow, like it's such a difference in culture. Here it's like, we need to do this, we'll get it done, we'll find a way. Like I was looking at on Instagram the other day, and we have a bridge that has completely collapsed. So we have no road, direct road to go back to Nicoya or the capital or anywhere really. So all our main supply road is shut off right now because the bridge has collapsed. And so I saw that they'd like created this like zip line kind of thing where they were like, there was a truck on one side of the bridge, the collapsed bridge, and they were just sending over the merchandise for one of the stores here over that zip line. And it was the locals doing that. And I was like, you guys are amazing.
Like genius. Like,
instead of going like, nope, we can't do it, they're like, sure, we'll find a way. So I love that about this country and about its people. It's like they'll find a way always. There's never a like, no, we can't do that. They're like, yeah, sure, we'll find a solution.
That's so true. It's so true. Yeah. And when disasters like this happen, which are more regular than anybody would like to admit, people don't necessarily get super worked up about it. It's like, oh, my house flooded. I guess I'll have to clean that up.
Yeah.
And then keep living there. Like that's as complicated as it gets for people a lot of the time. Yeah. And it's like just the ability of the local people to deal with uncertainty and like things that they can't control is as good as anywhere in the world.
Oh yeah. I would say that's something like that sums it up. And, you know, and I remember on my first trip to Costa Rica, someone said to me like patience and tolerance, those are two things you're going to learn in Costa Rica. And it's true. These people are so patient. They're so tolerant. They're like, yep, okay, this happened. Yep. And I'm like, wow. When I like, you know, get annoyed by something in perspective that is tiny, I just go like, oh, I feel so ashamed. I feel so bad because I'm like, they don't, as you say, they'll have their home completely flooded and they're like, okay, we'll just clean it up, you know? And I think we have a lot to learn. Well, I certainly have a lot to learn from that mindset of just like, let's just get on with it. Let's just like, we don't need to be all worked up about it. We can just get on with doing what we need to do to solve the problem.
Well said, Maddie. Well said. Let's jump into your story. First of all, let's talk about where you grew up, Maddie, and so, your young life.
Yeah, so I was born in Sweden, and my mom is Czech, so I come from a binational family. And when I was 3 years old, we moved to Belgium. So Belgium kind of became home because that's where I grew up. That's where I went to school. I had most of my teenage years there. And then when I was 19, I actually moved on a whim to Australia. So not by myself, because I had an Australian boyfriend at the time. And I don't know, I've always had like this kind of like desire for adventure. So just said, well, why not? So
Australian boyfriends can be dangerous, I tell
you. Yeah. It was an amazing adventure. And so I think it really, it shaped my appreciation for nature and for the great outdoors and so on. Like, I think Australia is an amazing country. And in some ways, I feel like Costa Rica has an element of that too. And it's always, ever since I left Australia, which was over 20 years ago now, was it that long ago? No, not that long ago. I can't even remember how old I am, but it was in my early 20s. It wasn't 20 years ago, but it was many years ago. And I remember when I left Australia, I always thought to myself, like, I want to live in a country that has this appreciation for nature, for the outdoors, for sports, health and exercise and all those kind of things, good food, like, and good produce. So I lived in Australia for about 3.5 years. Then I came back to Europe, and I actually did most of my degree online from a Swedish university while I was living in Australia. So that was kind of an interesting path. And then when I came back, I decided I wanted to do at least 1 year in a university, physically attending the university. So I did that in Brussels because my parents were living in Brussels, and I've always been very interested in politics. I studied politics, and I wanted a career in politics. So I did that. And then I ended up doing an internship in London for a politician, and I ended up getting a job with him, and I lived in London for 3 years. And it was when it was after that job, before I was starting a new job, that I had 3 weeks off. And I said to a friend, you know, I've always wanted to go to a country like completely by myself with a backpack. I want to learn how to surf, and I want to learn a new language. And she was like, go to Costa Rica. Like, Costa Rica is amazing. And I was like, okay. So I booked a ticket. It was the first time. I mean, I traveled a lot. I was in my early 20s and I'd lived in Australia. I traveled a lot on my own, but I'd never actually flown into a country by myself without knowing anyone and not really knowing what I was doing. But that was my first experience in Costa Rica. And indeed, she couldn't have been more right. She was like, you're going to be absolutely fine. I remember my parents going like, what? You're going to Latin America on your own? Are you out of your mind? And so on. But she was like, you'll be fine. It's super safe. People are super friendly. You'll fit right in. You'll be absolutely fine. And so I ended up going to this place in Jaco, actually. I found online this school, which was called the School of the World. And it was a school, like a holiday kind of learning vacation, they called it. And so I went to learn Spanish and surfing. And that's also on that trip that I actually discovered yoga, because I hadn't really done yoga before, and I discovered yoga. So I was like, wow. So I spent a week there, and then I traveled around a little bit the country, and then I came back to Europe, and I had a new job lined up that I'd done a whole bunch of interviews for. That was like a super kind of, it was a job that was very hard to get. And after a week in my job, I was like, so I'm leaving, like I'm going to Costa Rica. And they're like, what? And this was like with a really good,
like a big, a decent job.
Yeah, a very decent job in London with a big PR firm. I'd been interviewing with this company for like several months, and they're like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go and be a Pilates teacher and surf in Costa Rica. And they're like, we've never had anyone quit within a week, especially not someone, because it was part of their traineeship and I was really going in like.
They'd already invested time into you. Like they were set on you working for them.
I know. So they were like, okay. And so I decided that I was going to go and live in Costa Rica. So I went back, I sold all my stuff in London. I moved out of my apartment. I went back to my parents in Belgium and I did my Pilates teacher training. And 3 months later, I was on a plane to Costa Rica. And I had decided that I was going to live here. And how old was I? I was in my early 20s. It was in 2009. My first trip here was in 2008. And this was in 2009. And on my way here, I had met up with some friends who I'd met in London, and we were spending New Year's together in the Caribbean. And they were like, what are your resolutions for the new year? And this was for 2009. And I was like, well, I'm going to move to Costa Rica. I'm going to set up a business. I'm going to be a Pilates teacher. I'm going to serve. I'm going to do retreats and all that kind of stuff. And they were like, okay, well, we're moving to Monaco. And I was like, oh. And they're like, we think you should move to Monaco too. And I was like, Monaco, Costa Rica, are you guys for real? Like, there is no chance I'm coming to Monaco. Like, I had all my savings, which were like maybe 500 euros at the time, with me to go to Costa Rica. And I was going to try and survive on that for as long as possible until I understood how I could make a living. And I was like, I wouldn't last 5 minutes in Monaco with 500 euros. Like, I can't do that.
So for those listening, Monaco is one of the most expensive countries in the world with some of the wealthiest people in the world. And it's only about the size of Nusara. It's really, really small. And it's squashed between like Italy and France. But why were they going there? Why did they want you to go there?
Well, because they were moving there from London. And I think they wanted friends to move with them. And so... My friend, it was a couple, and the wife, she was just like, I don't know about moving there. I don't think I'm going to be very happy. And so the husband was like, Maddie, come with us. And that way she has a friend and you guys are going to be able to do stuff together and so on. So it was kind of like, I was like, nope, I'm going to Costa Rica. Anyway, 3 months into my, well, 2 months into being here in Costa Rica, I was here in Nusara. And I remember sitting on the beach one day going like, what am I doing here? Like, this is amazing, but like, what am I doing here? Like, how am I going to make ends meet? And even if I do make ends meet, like, that means that I'm never going back to my old life. Like, that it's a one-way ticket at that point, you know? So I was like, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Like, I want to be able to go to Paris. I want to go to the theater in London. And I want to do all those things that I'm used to doing in Europe. Like, I don't think I would be able to do that if I just stayed here and tried to make a living here and set up a business here. Like, it would take up all my time, all my everything. So I was like, okay, I'll just go back to Europe. And so I went back to Europe and my friend called me and she was like, you're back, come to Monaco. And I'm like, no. And she was like, just come for the weekend. And I'm like, okay. So I went for the weekend and I had the best time. I mean, it was incredible. And a couple of months later, I was like, well, why not? Why not give it a try? And so I ended up living in Monaco for 10 years, but I kept coming back to Costa Rica, sometimes 2-3 times a year, thinking one day. And I would always come back to Nusara.
To give people some context, Nusara is a really small place. It's there's a large expat community there, but it's very spread out. There's a huge amount of like nature. There's no paved roads. You know, the beaches are spectacular. They're amazing for surfing, amazing for wildlife watching. There's a lot of beaches around there that are totally deserted. So it's kind of like, you know, it's an idyllic place to be. And after going there once, it's not the sort of place that you forget quickly. It's a really special place.
And I think at some point I'm going to have to explain my first trip here because that was quite an ordeal as well, where I lost my passport and all sorts of crazy stuff happened. But my trip to Nusara, like I really earned Nusara because it was a very challenging place to get to. But going back to what you just said, it's true. Like after I came here, I would come back every year or sometimes several times a year. And every time I remember stepping off the plane going like, I'm home. Like when I got to Costa Rica and I would walk down on the beach here in Nusara at sunset after coming off the plane. And I would just start crying because I was just like, this is where I want to be. Like, this is where my soul is happy. This is where I am myself. This is where I want to be. And I was living in an environment that was the complete opposite of here. So it was very hard for me for many years because I kept coming here thinking like, this is where I want to be. This is where I am myself. And then I'd go back to this life that was not my life at all, but where I had built a business and where I had all my safety and security and all that. And so it took a lot of courage to eventually say, you know what? No, I am going to walk away from this life that might look perfect from the outside and where I have this comfort and safety. And I'm just going to take the leap and go where my soul is happy. And that's how I ended up living here in Nusara full time.
Let's talk a little bit about the comparisons, obviously, from your life in Europe that you had. And then you said you were coming here regularly and just felt the vibe in Nusara that you were you loved it, like it was your place, yeah. It was your home. What gave you those feelings when you compare your life back in Europe to the life here?
I think the people here have a lot less layers, if that's a way of explaining it. Is like when you smile at someone, they smile back and you can immediately see their soul in a way. I don't know if that makes sense, but you can really see the person for who they are, and they have a sense of peace within them and a sense of joy. And I remember, like, when I was coming here on holidays, I'll do surf trips, surf lessons and so on. I remember my surf teacher at the time, he was like, you know, I have the best job in the world. Like, my life, I have the best life in the world. And I was like, you do. And I would go back to living this life in Monaco where people were like fighting over who had the biggest yacht and who had the, you know, whatever, the most expensive watch or the most expensive penthouse or whatever it is. And I was like, you guys think you're happy, but you're not. And in reality, I think that the layers that people build up and so on are keep you from really getting in touch with who the real person is. And so I think that that was the biggest difference. Like, I'd come here and I'd speak with people and I'd connect with them in a way that was completely different to the way I would be able to connect with people back home, because there was this whole like personas and this thing and like where people build up all this wealth to kind of make themselves feel good. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone who builds up wealth does that for those reasons, but that environment that I was in was very prone to that and very kind of like, look at me, I have this, I have that, I have this. And I was like, and I came here and people were like, I have nothing, but I'm the happiest in the world. And I was like, yeah, right on. And so I think that's why I really love this place, because the more time I spent in Monaco, the more I started digging into the layers, the more I realized that people weren't themselves really, and that they weren't truly happy. And even though we all idealize this life where there's wealth and there's yachts and there's private jets and there's cars and all those kind of things, and we all think like, that's success, that's happiness. And it's just like, no guys, happiness is this surf teacher walking out on the beach every morning going like, I have nothing, but I have the best job in the world and I'm the happiest guy in the world. And I'm like, that is happiness. So I think here was my truth was here, and I could really feel like I was connecting with the people who are living here.
That's so well explained. Like, it's really true what you say. There's much less pretense here.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, if we really want to like psychoanalyze it, but you know, you have a culture here that for a lot of the people in the small coastal communities, yeah, they don't have much money, right?
Yeah.
They're not. But they're also not chasing after it either. And that's because the culture doesn't put any pressure on them to do that. To the point where I think a thing that a lot of foreigners like about this country that I've noticed is in certain countries where you might travel to, if you're from the West and you look like me and you're white and you arrive in a place and there's this big perception that you're rich, you know, mm-hmm. people just immediately like stare at you and think you have money. And I've never felt that in Costa Rica. And I think the reason I've never felt that is most people here who live a simple life, enjoying the coast, enjoying the environment, enjoying their family, they're not after what anyone in the West has. they're not looking for a big boat or a whole bunch of stress or a whole bunch of time commitments or a business that takes a lot of effort to run. They're not looking for that. They're like, hey, I'm happy. I get to live my life how I want and I don't have anyone annoying me. Like,
yeah,
we've figured it out, you know.
It's true. And I think that's so true. And I think that's one of the things I love about living here. And that's one of the big differences with the life I had in Monaco, and is that people don't really care. Like, they're, you know, they just don't really care about what you own, what you don't own. They're like, are you happy? That's what matters.
That's the currency.
That's the currency, your happiness. And I remember in Monaco, it was the complete opposite. Like, if you'd walk into a restaurant, depending on who was at your table, you'd get a different type of service because everyone knew what other people were made of and what kind of tip you'd get at the end of the meal. And all this kind of like, it all revolved around what people owned and what they had. And I was just like, this is not life. And that's why I think that I connected here as well. And I love the fact that people just don't really care. Like, they're just like, but are you happy? Because of that, like, if I go back to comparing my old life, like, I'm obviously picking up on all the negatives here, but there was a lot of envy, there was a lot of jealousy, there was a lot of competition between people. Like, it wasn't like that kind of culture doesn't bring people together. It divides people because it's always like, I have more, or who has more than me, or how can I have more than that person? Whereas here, people don't care. They're like, let's just help each other. Let's just be supportive. Let's all be happy together. Like, there's not that element of envy, jealousy, or anything like that. It just doesn't exist.
It's great, isn't it? Isn't it the best? I love it. I love it. As you're explaining it, I'm like, yeah, I can relate. Yeah, I feel like that every day. It's pretty good. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. True. So true. Yeah. So, okay. So you had this decade, Maddie, where you were coming to Costa Rica and enjoying it and living in Monaco. So going back there for professional responsibilities and your friends there. When did it get to the point where it was like this tipping point where you went, okay, enough's enough. That's where I want to be. And you did it.
Well, I think I was very unhappy the last few years I was in Monaco. I just felt like my soul was not happy there. And so I kept looking for other places to move to. And I looked at the US and I thought of other countries and I kept saying, like, I'm going to move. And then beginning of 2019, I remember sitting in my apartment going, like, I just started my online business. I'd been working like crazy and I just hit a wall. And I remember being on the phone to my mom and I said, Mom, I need to get out. Like, I am just not happy. And she was like, just get on a plane. And that was kind of my thing. Whenever I didn't feel well, I would just get on a plane. So, I booked a ticket to Bali, and then something inside of me told me, like, you need to go to Costa Rica. So then I went online and I bought a ticket to Costa Rica. And so I don't have a lot of money. I've just started my online business, but somehow I maxed out both my credit cards to buy a ticket to Bali and one ticket to Costa Rica. And I couldn't make up my mind where to go. And so I remember having these conversations for like 2 or 3 days with my mom going, like, Mom, I think I'm crazy because I was set on Bali. I booked everything for Bali, but there's something inside of me that tells me that I need to go to Costa Rica. And she was just like, okay, well, clearly she's having a meltdown, like, you know, whatever. She was like, do whatever you need to do, but to get yourself out of that place, because clearly, you know, something's not right right now.
If you've booked two plane tickets for the same dates, yeah, there's something wrong.
I know, there's obviously something very wrong. Plus you have no money. So, like, you know, she was like, there's obviously something wrong with you and you're set, like, you have a startup, like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, so eventually I was just like, I reached out to a friend who lives here, Nasara, who I'd been friends with for a long time. And she was like, listen, she has a home here. She's like, I have a spare bedroom, like, come over. And I was like, okay, that's kind of the sign that I needed to go to Costa Rica. So I forgot about my ticket to Bali and I jumped on a plane and I came down here. And I had just booked like a 2-week holiday. I was just like, I just need 2 weeks to just recenter myself and focus on my online business and so on. And about 3 or 4 days in, I started meeting people here. Like, I always have this great memory of sitting at the surf club here in Nasara, and there's a girl sitting there on her computer, and she's roughly my age, and she's working away, and she looks up at me, and I look at her, and she looks at me, and then all of a sudden we're like, let's talk, like, you know, we need to be friends, like, you know. So we start talking and so on, and then it turns out, like, she had made the move from New York. She had an online business. She just bought land. And she was like, I love it here. Like, I can work from here. This is awesome. Like, and I was like, wow, if she can do it, I can do it too. And then I started meeting more and more people. And I think it's a new kind of population that didn't exist 10 years ago in Nasara, of people who work online and who are driven, who have careers and so on, but have just chosen to do it from a different location rather than sitting in an apartment in London or New York, deciding to do it from here. And so I was like, well, now I have my online business. I mean, my online business at the time wasn't really generating much money, but I thought, like, if I really invest myself in this, I can make it work. And so I think that was the tipping point. That was really the moment where I was like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it too. And I'm going to make it happen. But then it was like, after I made that decision, I went back to Monaco. And when I told people, like, I had most of my clients were extremely supportive. They're like, go, Maddie, do it. Like, but I also had some people who are like, you're out of your mind. Like, do you realize that you're moving to a third world country? Like, the comfort that you have here, the safety that you have here, do you even have a health system over there? Like, what's going to happen to you? Like, you know, and I went ahead and did it anyway, and I couldn't be happier. Like, and I sometimes walk around when I'm in San Jose, I walk around the nicer parts of San Jose, and I'm like, this is nicer than Monaco. This is cleaner than Monaco. This feels better than Monaco. This is much better organized than Monaco. And I kind of laugh at the people who told me, like, you're moving to a third world country. Like, you know, it's going to be dangerous and it's going to be dirty and there's no... And I mean, the healthcare system here is amazing.
My wife so just had a baby in the public healthcare system, and it was amazing. It was as good as a healthcare experience in any. Well, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I had a bit of a health scare a few weeks ago, and I remember I was driving to San Jose because my doctor told me, like, go and have an ultrasound just quickly, just to make sure that you're in the clear. And I remember I was driving to San Jose, and I called one of the places I'd been to for an ultrasound a few months before, or a year ago or something. And I was like, listen, I'm driving from Guanacaste. And they're like, what time would you like to come in? And I was like, excuse me? And they're like, you can pick a time. If it's an emergency, we'll just take you in. And I was like, in some countries, you have to wait months to get an ultrasound. But here, they just do it like, sure, you need it. We can make it happen. Of course, it depends on whether you go in the public system or in the private system. But still, like, they want to help you and they'll accommodate you. And it's clean and it's nice and it's organized and it's tiny. It's tidy and you can make your appointments online. And it's like, wow. Like, I'm like, it really makes me chuckle when I think back at some of the comments I got when I said I'm moving to Costa Rica, because I'm like, people have no idea how civilized this place actually is in certain ways.
How civilized and how safe, yeah, and how organized in many ways. And yeah, for those listening who have never been to Costa Rica, and for those people who know Maddie and said that she was going to live somewhere that was dangerous, like, living in a small coastal town in Costa Rica, there's not many people around. And the people that are around, they're a mix of foreigners, locals, and Costa Ricans from the city who have moved to that area and most of the coastal towns. But if you think about it, the local community are the ones benefiting the most from the foreigners living there, right? Because they work in the businesses and they get jobs in any businesses that spring up. And if you just think about that local community, they have such a strong incentive to keep their town as peaceful and friendly and happy as possible, because that is why so many foreigners move there. And I often tell friends, like, I feel just as safe in Costa Rica as any country I've ever been. I feel safer here than being out in a strip of, like, bars or nightlife in Australia in a city in the middle of the night on a weekend, you know, like, that's more of a dangerous place than like anywhere here. So, yeah. Like, of course there's, you know, there's crime everywhere, and you can't avoid that. That's going to happen in every part of the world, but it's definitely not unsafe like many people think, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's about being cautious. I mean, you know, it's about being cautious and being careful and not doing anything crazy. But I mean, I think that what I realized also, like, is that people here are genuinely friendly and here to help you. And if you have an issue, like, it's happened, I can't remember the last time, but I've had my kind of like moments where I'm like, what am I doing? And then someone's going to stop on the side of the road or like be like, hey, are you okay? And sometimes I'm going like, oh my God, this person's going to like kill me or something. And it's just like, no, they're just friendly. But I think that in the beginning, when I first moved here, I'm so wired with being careful. If someone wants to offer their help or someone's trying to be friendly, I was always like, oh my God. But now I'm like, no, people are just like that here. They just want to help you. They're just friendly. They're not in it for anything else. So it took a while for me to kind of like get used to that, because I think that we're just not used to that. Well, I certainly wasn't anyway.
I wasn't either. Here in Playa del Coco, where it's a little bit more of a built-up town than where you are down in Nassara, but we have we have homeless people here. You know, we have people who live on the street and people who have drug addiction issues. And since COVID started, there's a few more of those people. And I know this is a random story to bring up here on the podcast, here in this episode, but I found it really unique here that homeless people and people who have drug addictions, who you see in the streets here, you know, you'll see some people walking around. They're never disrespected. Nobody ever disrespects them. Nobody ever looks at them and thinks that they have less value than they do. And that, in a way, is a real sign of like an amazing culture, you know. Like if the people who are the most down and out in your culture at any point in time still get given the respect and courtesy that they deserve as human beings, even when they're in their worst moment of like, you know, you see some of these people and it's heart-wrenching, you know, like drugs are bad, you know, like they can cause a lot of issues for people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always like really warmed my heart seeing that the population just respects everyone as a human being. Mm-hmm. It's not like there isn't really that status game. Well, not where we live. You know, I haven't lived in San Jose. I'm sure there's some city vibe going on there, but definitely in these coastal towns, it's good vibes. Everyone's a person. Everybody gets treated with respect, and it's a great environment to be in. You know, eventually it starts wearing off on you, and it starts making changes within yourself, you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Costa Rica, living here definitely makes you a better person, because I think that I definitely noticed the difference in sometimes I still have, you know, I spent my whole life in Europe and I spent 10 years in Monaco. So it does leave its kind of like, you know, marks on you. And the way I'm wired, sometimes I kind of like catch myself going like, oh my God, like, how, like, you know, sometimes I'm like, how rude are you? Like, why are you being like this? And I'm like, you know, so I think that at least it brings it up. And then slowly, as you say, you start to become a better person on the inside, because you're like, what am I doing? Like, if you do something that doesn't fit in here, you notice it immediately. You're like, oh my God, I'm like, this is, I'm not a nice person right now. I'm horrible.
It takes years. This is an ongoing process of self-improvement.
Yeah, but it's a very nice experience, because I think that for me, it's I get very kind of like humbled and inspired by how people deal with people here, and how, and I'm like, wow, I still have some work to do.
Maddie, you grew up with a Czech mum, born in Sweden, moved to Brussels, which is majority French speaking and a little bit of Flemish. Then you lived in Monaco, which is French speaking, to the best of my knowledge.
Yes, it is.
How many languages do you speak?
So I learned Swedish, obviously, because that was the language we spoke at home. My mom spoke to us in Czech, and we'd spend time in Czech Republic, so Czech. I learned English because I had an English-speaking neighbor and I had English lessons at school. And then I learned French because we were living in Belgium. And then I went to a Belgian school and I had to learn Flemish. So I learned a little bit of Flemish, but I haven't used it since I moved away from Belgium in my early 20s. And I learned...
For those listening who don't know what Flemish is, it's very similar to Dutch. It's almost the same thing as Dutch.
It's almost the same thing. It's almost the same thing, yeah. It's like Australian and English, I guess. The accent is different, but the language is very similar. So, and then when I moved to Monaco, I had an Italian boyfriend, so I decided to learn Italian. When I came to Costa Rica, I decided to learn Spanish. So none of those are very good. And when I was living in Monaco as well, I was working in real estate and I had a lot of Russian clients. And because Czech and Russian are very similar, and my mom was a Russian teacher when she was working. So she kind of encouraged me to pick up Russian. But I can't say that I speak any Russian right now, but there was a time where I could understand Russian. I think I still understand a little bit, but I was never fluent in it. But I did. I think once you know one or two or three languages, like picking up the others becomes easier. But yeah, so I guess that makes it six, something like that. But four of which I speak very well, and then another four that are very average.
Wow. The benefits of being European in that regard is really great. When I first went traveling in Europe when I was 19, backpacking through Europe, and I only spoke English at the time, and I was just so blown away that, like, wow, all these people speak like more than one language. It's amazing. And I'm sure you noticed when you lived in Australia, it's very rare to meet anyone who's bilingual. It's extremely rare. Like, it's English or English or English in Australia.
Yeah, or Australian.
Or Australian.
But I think I was very lucky that my parents started us very young. And I think that while my mom always, but because she was a linguist, she was a language teacher. And what she always believed in is like, language is like, you know, it's a way of your mind being able to operate. And like, if you can learn one language, you can learn 10 of them. And it's just a way of wiring your mind. And so she was very good with us. And even when I decided I want to start learning Russian, like, she was always very good at explaining the roots of the different languages. And you can use this language because that reminds you of that root. And then you can use this and that word and so on. So I think it's a lot thanks to my parents and having been in a multicultural environment since I was tiny.
It's so cool. And the like learning different languages, I speak Spanish and English and a little bit of Portuguese, but for folks like you who speak like a lot of different languages, people tell me that like it helps you critically think differently about situations, because if you have like the language down pat from a particular place, you kind of have the culture too. You know, learning culture and language are like a similar thing at the same time. 100%. And each culture deals with problems differently, and they have their uniquenesses about the way they think about overcoming a challenging situation. And just being able to draw on all of that through your eight different languages, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's true. Whenever now I hear French, for example, like, it just makes me miss the whole culture. And like, as you say, a language is so much more than a language. It's just a culture. It's a way of doing things. It's just like, so I think that the only kind of difficulty I've had this year because of COVID is that I haven't been able to go back to Europe. So that wasn't really the plan, but I'm absolutely fine being here. I think I couldn't be in a better place, but I do miss Europe for that reason, for being able to go to France and having that culture and going to Sweden and going and visiting my family in Czech Republic and having those different cultural experiences. I really miss that.
With all that base of those languages, tell me about the transition to speaking Spanish here in Costa Rica.
So I started learning Spanish on my first trip here in 2008, and I was doing quite well. I went back to Europe. I kept doing Spanish lessons, but then I moved to Monaco, right? And in Monaco, like, there's a big, big population of Italian speakers. And I started dating an Italian, and I was so frustrated because I would go to these dinners and everyone was speaking Italian. And even though I could understand the language, I was like, I want to be part of this conversation. And so I started learning Italian, and it completely messed up my Spanish. So now I'm back here trying to do Spanish, and I am taking lessons here and so on. But I think I need more of an immersive experience. So I'm going to look into that. But it's been beneficial to have French, because I think that a lot of the Spanish words are similar to French, but then I sometimes use inspiration from Italian and then I mess everything up. So it's been, there are pros and cons to knowing other languages when you're learning a new one, especially when you are comparing it to a language that you don't know very well, because Italian is really not a language I know very well. And so it just becomes one giant mess at times.
They're such similar languages too. Yeah. Like, I don't speak any Italian, but if I sit and listen to two people speaking in Italian,
yeah,
you know, you can pick it up if you speak mm-hmm. Spanish. You can kind of know what's going on, because a lot of the words have similar type of sounds and different endings. But no, that's interesting for sure. Maddie, let's talk about what you do professionally, but also how Costa Rica fits into that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Costa Rica has been a massive source of inspiration for my own wellness. in my own journey with health, fitness, wellness. Costa Rica has always been a place where I've come to kind of recenter myself, to get inspiration, to understand what paths are available to me in order to feel my best physically and mentally. So it's in Costa Rica that I discovered meditation, yoga, breath work, sound meditation. Like, all these practices are practices that I discovered in Costa Rica and who brought me to where I am today, and who and that really inspired me to create the program that I've created online, which is a very much of a mind, body, spirit kind of healing program, right? If you may call it that way. I think that now that I live here, I've also realized that it's, I live in a blue zone, and a lot of what I teach online, a lot of what I believe in is related to the blue zones.
Giving a little example or a little explanation about what the blue zone is?
Yeah. So the blue zones are, there's, I think, five of them in the world. There's one in Japan. There's one in Sicily, here in Costa Rica, in the Nicoya Peninsula. And basically, it's someone who did a study a few years ago. I think it was in the early 90s or 80s. He identified the areas in the world where the population lived the longest, but with the highest quality of life. So it wasn't just about surviving, but it was actually about thriving into old age. And so he identified what are the similarities between those different populations. And he realized that living off the land was one of them. Having a strong sense of community was also one of them. Having a purpose was one of them. So all these things that I think that you really experience living here, and that are completely tied to our health, because I think that a lot of the time, when we look at traditional fitness programs and so on, it's just like, let's burn calories, let's like get ready fit. And it doesn't bring in that element, like, but are you happy? Like, and if you're not happy, you are going to go home and open the fridge and just raid it and eat whatever's in it. Whereas if you're feeling fulfilled, if you're living in your purpose, if you have a strong sense of community, if you make your own food, if you know where your food comes from, like, that is as important for our health as how many calories you burn in the gym. Like, it's even more important for our health. So I think that's what I learned in my own journey, because I have I had a very challenging journey when it came to my own health and fitness. I was very kind of like on the straight and narrow, like just eating very kind of low calorie, burning a lot of calories, like really trying to hone my body into shape. And then spending time here, I was like, oh my God, but the breath, how about the breath? And then I realized, oh wow, like the breath is important for our health, and slowing down and starting to listen to the body. And so that's how like the layers started to kind of add to what I now share online as a philosophy of life, which is really like physical, mental, and spiritual well-being through all these different tools, and understanding that they all support each other, they're all connected, and that we need all of them to be happy.
You're talking about the social aspect of life here, and I've noticed probably more than ever since COVID started, because in March, when we all got kind of put on lockdown, which, you know, for those listening here, the lockdowns in March were pretty intense for almost like 2 or 3 months. We couldn't really move around much. And then for a few months after that, we had to, you know, we couldn't really drive much. And it's been almost 9 months now. We're in November 2020 when we're recording this, and everything's pretty much open again now, which is great. But during that time, I started walking around town. Before that, I just went surfing. I never really did any other exercise. And surfing's great. I'm not saying surfing's not great. It's just I couldn't do it at that time because of COVID. I couldn't get to the beach. The beaches were closed, all that. So started walking around with my son about 5 kilometers a day each morning, sometimes in the afternoon. And during those walks, the part that's not even fitness related, which is like me waving at people and like saying hi to friends and seeing the nature and feeling the wind on my face and all of those things that have nothing to do with me burning calories, mm-hmm. I think have a huge amount to do with like how good I started feeling after going for a walk with my kid. And there's no way I can really quantify all of that in on a chart of happiness. However, I can totally relate that back to what you said. Like it's a combo of factors that lead to a happy life, not a checklist, essentially.
It's important to take a holistic approach. and to really understand that there are so many facets, there are so many elements that are important for us to feel good. And we can't just think that it's just food and exercise. And like, that's a very regimented kind of like, no one wants to just
food and exercise. Yeah, of course.
There are a lot of other ways we find nourishment and happiness and joy in life. And finding happiness and joy in life is important for our health.
Maddie, the community you live in has a really big expat population and a big local population as well. What is it about Nosara that attracted you more than any other place in Costa Rica?
I think the fact that there's a yoga community, I mean, there are several places in Costa Rica where there's a big yoga community, but the yoga community coupled with the surf and the fact that there's a school here, there's a very good school here. So it means that there's families who live here all year round. And that was important to me. I didn't want to live in a town that was just a tourist town. Like here, there are people who are part of the community. This is their home and they will get involved and so on with the local community. And that's something that was important to me. So I think those are the most important things. Feeling part of a local community that has a good blend of expats, locals, and so on. And then the surfing, obviously, and the yoga and kind of the mindfulness kind of here.
For those considering Costa Rica as a place to live, what would you suggest they do? How should they go about figuring out whether this is actually right for them or not?
Well, I think really tapping in with how it makes them feel to be here. I think that's the key, because I think that my mind and my rational thinking kind of got in the way for a long time. And people were saying to me, like, you can't go and live there. Are you out of your mind? But I think that when we're in an environment where we're truly happy, when we can truly be ourselves, we find a way to make it work. And things fall into place and we get in the flow and we meet the right people and so on. Like, so I think it's really about focusing on how you feel. And of course, there's going to be fear. Like, there was massive fear. Like, I nearly came back on my decision and decided to stay because I was so worried about what would happen. But I think that realizing that if we're in a place where we're truly happy, then things happen for us. So yeah, that's kind of the main suggestion, I would say, tapping in with how it makes you feel and trust that this is the right place for you and it will be. One of the things that I've spoken to a few people who live here, they're like, you know, things just have a way of working out here. And I'm like, yeah, but that's because we don't expect them to, but we allow them to, and we are happy and we're in our true power. And we're like, yes, you know, and I think that it's very different to the life that a lot of people live, where it's very like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And like this very fear-based living. Here, it's just like, it's all going to work out. And it does.
If people want to find you online, what should they type into Google?
Fit Body Fresh Mind, or Maddie Carlson, but Fit Body Fresh Mind is my website. And that's who I am on Instagram as well, fitbody.freshmind. I'm pretty active on Instagram, not so much elsewhere, but on Instagram, that's my thing.
You are super active on Instagram. I was checking out like some of your stories before. It's a wealth of information on there about living really well, guys. So check it out. We're going to have the link to your Instagram and link to your webpage as well on our movetocostaricapodcast.com website when this episode goes live. So that'll be any last words, Maddie?
No, thank you so much for having me. And I hope that this somehow inspired someone who might be sitting on the fence about moving here to take the leap.
Yeah, take it from Maddie, guys. Like, she spent a decade of her life wondering about whether she should live here, and she finally did it. I've got one final question for you. For someone like yourself who's lived in lots of different countries and experienced lots of different cultures, lots of different languages, does Costa Rica seem like the place where you're pretty keen to spend like the majority of the rest of your time on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought land here and yeah, I got a horse. I got my dogs and yeah, this is where my life is going to be. I mean, I am always up for adventure and I will always, you know, be open to whatever comes my way, but this is how I feel in this moment. This is going to be home for the foreseeable future. Yeah.
Epic. Maddie, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat to us and for getting a digital record of your story about how you moved here. It's the best. Pura vida.
Bye, pura vida.
Here's a sneak peek of the next episode. In episode 21, we chat to 61-year-old Canadian Yves Mallett. Yves reflects on why he was always destined to end up in Latin America, his fascination with Costa Rican wildlife, and why learning Spanish has enriched both his daily life and his friendships.
I have a lot of people who actually write to me and they'll send me an email and say, you know what, we're moving to Costa Rica in 2 years and we want to move in such a community. I say, well, have you ever been here before? No. Well, my advice is take the time to come down and take the time to explore and take the time to talk to people. Don't make a decision that even though, I mean, it's tempting to move to paradise, but visiting a country as a tourist and living in a country as an expat are two different experiences.
If you'd like to watch the video of this episode, go to YouTube and subscribe to the Move to Costa Rica podcast. If you enjoyed this conversation, please rate, review, and share it with your friends on social media. For a full list of show notes, episodes to your inbox, information on becoming a guest on the show, and how to support the show on Patreon, head to www.movetocostaricapodcast.com. Remember, new episodes are released every Thursday by 6 a.m. Costa Rica time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, pura vida.